Amen. Greetings this morning in Jesus' name. It is a blessing to finally see some more of the bodies back. You are sorely missed, those of you that have been absent, youth and adults, family. I'm glad you're here. I missed you the last Sunday and Thursdays that you've been parted from us. We're grateful that God has been working in your life too and giving you blessings where you were. But we selfishly and greedily are glad you're here. I think I can say that. Brother Luke, that really goes for you too and your children. We miss you when you're not here. We're very grateful for your presence this morning. May God bless you as you're here today, seeking to serve Him, seeking His will for your life, that is for all of us. May we receive blessing from heaven. Well, I want to say amen to the youth sharing and Brother Dave's exhortation. Praise God. We'll be watching. No pressure from us, but God's watching too. And if you do fail, or unfortunately in this frail flesh, I might say when you do fail, don't sit down. The righteous man seven times gets back up. Seven's just a whole number. It doesn't mean stop at seven. It just means get up. That's what we need to do. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Dave and I visited there on Thursday, and he felt the Lord leading him to give up this morning's main message so that we could continue on prayer. It would be my hope and expectation to finish the subject that the Lord has laid on my heart. This will be the third message on this. And I would hope today we can wrap it up, but I'm not going to presume to limit God. If He chooses that we don't get through, I'll come again some other time.
Amen.
And we'll see what all He has for us in this. I don't like trying to change what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. I found that to be incredibly ineffective and very frustrating. So we'll just go with it. And I trust the Lord is not just speaking to me, but has somebody else in mind as we have looked at this subject of prayer. And before we go any further, and some of you are a little bit behind, I understand, not being here Sunday and Thursday. Messages will be available here, I hope, next week. But you will maybe find yourself a little bit out of the loop. I'll try to make this message to stand on its own so that you don't feel too left out. But I am looking at a little bit different focus today after I finish up something from Thursday. Before we dive into it, I'm going to ask you again, I did last Sunday, I did Thursday, if you would join me on your knees, just right there in your seat if you can, for a word of prayer, since we are speaking on prayer, and this is the house of prayer. Let us lift our hearts together to our Father. I thank you, Father, that when heaven is open and sin is dealt with, that you hear. And as you are hearing this morning, as Brother Ryan said, I have no sense that I have done anything to transgress your way, your will, or your law. So, whether I feel it or not, communion is assured. For you are God, and you are loving towards me and this congregation. So we come this morning with a sense, I have a sense, Lord, that there is a stronghold in the way. And I would ask you, in the name of your Son Jesus, if you would come against that stronghold and cast it down. If you would come against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, if you would come against it and cast it down out of the way, that your Spirit may reign here, that you would have free course in this place, that you might have all your will done here, that your word might run to the changing of the saints, to the saving of a soul, to the sanctifying of your people. Consecrate us, Lord, by your very presence today, and let no works of darkness tarry in this place. But by your Spirit, be exalted here, in our hearts, in our bodies, and in this service. It is yours. We give ourselves away, laying down our sin. We lay down our pride. We come before you asking you to move in our lives. Teach us how to pray. Teach us to grow in communion with you and one another. Help us. Dear God, help us to learn the word surrender. We must learn surrender for you to be exalted and you alone. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To your own name may all glory and honor and blessing flow. And from your throne may you find a people here today that you may sanctify and use for your purposes right here in Griswold. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. You do not have power here. The Lord rebuke you. This is the body of Christ and the temple of the living God as we are one together. So you have no authority. We do not obey your voice, but we obey the living God. And we thank you, Father, for hearing us this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your kindness in giving us this gathering together of believers that we might hear from your word and your will what you want for your people. We thank you this morning for the love of Christ and the love of the Holy Ghost that is in our hearts. May we seek you and find you, and may our expectation be towards you and your soon coming. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're not going to look at this today. I suppose it'll be another message on prayer sometime down the road. But John chapter 17, it's the high priestly prayer. I would like to take it apart and parse it sometime. But there is something in that high priestly prayer that I want us to notice. Jesus prayed the will of God. And that is the purpose of all prayer, whether it is Christ or you and I. The purpose of prayer is for God's will to be done. Thus, our prayer is God's glory. Our prayer has God's glory as its goal. The central focus of our petition is the glory of God. And Jesus prayed in that high priestly prayer that they may be one as we are one. Saturday morning after prayer, had Ryan write this on the board. Does anyone recognize it? It's on your money, isn't it? E pluribus unum, from many, one. What was the high priestly prayer? From many, one. Gentiles, Jews, Canaanites, barbarians, Scythians, slaves, freemen, rulers, and servants, from many, one. Equality under Christ. We have it, equality before the law. But we have equality before Christ. There is a oneness, a unity that only comes from the living spirit of the living God in his living people, seeking his living, active, purposeful will. E pluribus unum, from many one. May that be the testimony of his church. The title of today's message, when we finally get into it, is Prevailing Prayer. Prevailing Prayer. Suppose you find yourself as I am, that I would like to see the answer to prayer. I don't lift my voice daily to hear it, nor to please others, but to see God answer. What is prevailing prayer? Well, let me give you something that I ended with Thursday. I'm going to begin with and end with today. It is the bookend. Let us have no plan but to seek God's plan and the grace to perform it. Let us have no plan but to seek God's plan and the grace to perform it or to carry it out. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5.
James chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brothers and sisters, what is effectual, fervent prayer? Is it loud? Is it zealous? Does it have perfect diction? Is effectual, fervent prayer something that is doctrinally correct, spiritually lofty, full of meekness and humility? What is effectual, fervent prayer? If that's what avails much, and it takes a righteous man to pray it, what is effectual, fervent prayer? Well, let me put it to you this way. Effectual, fervent prayer is heaven-directed and heaven-inflamed. It is birthed by the Spirit of God and breathed by the Spirit of God. That is effectual, fervent prayer. There is no other prayer that qualifies. It may be loud, it may be muttered, but it will only be effectual and fervent if it is heaven-breathed and heaven-spoken. Heaven-sent and heaven-breathed. However I said that. Heaven-inspired and heaven-inflamed. Heaven-inspired and heaven-inflamed. I like that better. But however you like it, that's what it takes for it to be effectual and fervent prayer. We already defined prayer a week ago. And it's of the righteous man. It's the prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. First effectual, then fervent, and it must come from a righteous one. And then it gives us an example of righteousness, Elijah. Yet you all sitting here know that Elijah was not perfect in his day. He was a man subject to like passions as we. In fact, he has one of the most unwise prayers in the Bible. But we're not going to look at that today. What made him righteous was he was dependent upon the mercy of God for his righteousness, for his goodness, for his power. And for us to be righteous before God, we must also be dependent upon the mercy of God and that alone. That is the only time that we will find ourselves able to receive the spirit of effectual fervent prayer, is when we are righteous before God. And way at the very end of this message, we're going to talk about the conditions of prayer, which I alluded to once already a week ago. But we must have a bit of a grasp on effectual, fervent prayer and righteousness. And I know, church, you hear about righteousness from these pulpits all the time. The tapes that you listen to, you get it over and over and over again. But it is not enough just to hear. We must begin to live the truth that is in God's Word. Our righteousness is not contained in our suspenders or our lack thereof. It is not contained in our head covering and our dresses. It's not contained in a jumper pattern or a three-piece vest suit. I don't care what you wear, as long as it fits the biblical definition of modesty. But your righteousness is not contained in those things. It is in dependence upon the mercy of God and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now wear right clothing. If God has convicted you about something in your clothing, change it. Wear what you ought according to obedience to the Scripture. But don't look to it to give you entrance to God. Otherwise, you could not pray unless you were properly clothed in all that God has spoken to you on. Brother and sister, I can pray in the shower. so ought you. When I'm in my work dungarees, I don't consider that the finest of clothing. I don't like going out in public in what I work in, so that is not neat, but I can pray. John Baptist was a good example that your righteousness isn't in what you wear. Why did God is so good? He gave us John Baptist and his answered prayer, and he wore camel clothes, rough clothing, terrible diet, ascetic. That's what John was. He was an ascetic. He denied his flesh everything. And God heard his prayer. Well, don't go running after John the Baptist unless God calls you. Because Jesus came, and he had the finest of linen clothes. He ate and drank at banquets and feasts. You could even say he fared sumptuously at many an occasion. Now, he fasted off too. Don't get me confused. But you have two extremes. And God heard Jesus' prayer. Because their dependence on God was not based upon what they looked like, but upon him, upon God himself. And if we don't preach Christ-centered across this pulpit, there's no point in us preaching. Well, I want to read you something Charles Spurgeon said about prayer. He said this, some of you brothers that have been struggling in your prayer life, you sisters too, this is for us. Keep the altar of private prayer beaming and burning. This is the very life of all piety. The sanctuary and family altar borrow their fires here. Therefore, let this burn well. Secret devotion is the very essence, evidence, and barometer of vital and experimental religion. Burn here the fat of your sacrifices. Let your closet seasons be, if possible, regular, frequent, and undisturbed. Effectual prayers availeth much. Let us examine ourselves on this important matter. Do we engage with lukewarmness in private devotion? Is the fire of devotion burning dimly in our hearts? Do the chariot wheels drag heavily? If so, let us be alarmed at this sign of decay. Let us go with weeping and ask for the spirit of grace and of supplication. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. A little something about prayer. Much kneeling will keep us in good standing with God. It's a little something you can hang on your mirror. You need a little motivation? Think about death, right? Good advice. I like that. Much kneeling will keep us in good standing with God. Before I move on to power in prayer, I want to revisit vain repetition in prayer. I talked about one aspect of it, but the clock was running out. I need to move on Thursday. So I want to go back to vain repetition. Matthew 6, we're instructed not to use vain repetition as the heathen do. I'm not going to repeat what I've already said, but I want to move on to this. This is not a rebuke, brothers and sisters. This is not, I've been listening critically to how you pray, and therefore I'm coming with this stinging rebuke. What I have is a challenge that God brought to my own heart, one that I have heard others mention. So I'm going to bring it before the body here, that we also may be instructed together likewise. Use of vain repetition in our good Christian prayer comes in the form of the words Lord, Jesus, Father, and God. In fact, we can find ourselves praying to such an extent that one-third of our prayer is filler, because we are repeating one of those words over and over. And we're using it as a stutter. It's in place of but, and. So we just drop on an extra father, or we drop on a Lord, and it becomes a vain repetition. And I'm afraid it reveals in us a bit of laziness. I know that stings a little, but it is true. We do find ourselves, and I find myself guilty of this. What I think we might approach as a cure would be this. If we spend some time in forethought, meditation, and quiet contemplation before we begin our public prayer. If we would consider God, His mercy, His grace, and His love, it might change the way we pray. If we would ponder the nature, God's whole nature, and consider His omni, His omnipresence, His omniscience. If we consider, what is the other? Omnipotence. If we consider He's present everywhere all the time, if we consider that He knows everything, and we consider that all power lies with Him. Really meditate on these attributes of God. If we would seek to grasp with our finite minds the self-sufficiency of God and God alone. And what I mean by that, grasping His self-existence. His statement there, tell them, I am that I am, has sent you. Jehovah. The eternal self-existent one. He is the original. He is the first cause. You ever heard that term before? He is the first cause. Without Him, nothing. And without Him, nothing again. If He would remove the word of His power from us right now, we cease to be. That's it. Because we are in existence by the word of His power. He is the first cause, uncreated, eternal self-existent, shares His throne with no one, shares His glory with no one. Ponder the Godhead. Ponder His person. Meditate upon the Trinity, that it is Jesus who has given you entrance to God, that it is the Holy Ghost who has enabled you to pray, and it is God who is giving you an amen answer, a yes, so be it. Consider who it is that you're speaking to before you speak. You would not approach even the President of the United States with careless words and disordered thoughts. How much less so should we approach God that way? Now, before you think that I'm squishing all spontaneous prayer, I do not want to do that. If you cannot pray, except you use some of these filler words, pray and ask God to teach you right discipline in this thing and what is pleasing to Him. But don't stop praying because you think, well, if I pray in front of Him, I'm going to get criticized. That's not my heart. It's not what I want to do. But I do want us to consider what is pleasing to God and what does it mean when the Scripture says vain repetition. It takes an extra measure of grace to be able to pray fully and through. There are times and appropriate times to use His name repeatedly in prayer. The psalmist does it often, okay? I'm not blind to that in the Scriptures. All I'm saying is, let's beware of filler and consider God. If we would also seek actively the Holy Ghost to guide and give unction to our prayers, it would change our praying. Don't come with what's in your mind. Don't come just with your private meditation. Come with the Holy Ghost. Come with unctionized prayer. How many of you know what the word unction means? Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of definitions. It is divine or sanctifying grace. You need unction in your prayer, or can you do without it? Divine or sanctifying grace. It is anointing. That's what unction is. Anointing to pray. How about it's a richness of gracious affection? Need that in your prayer? A richness of gracious affection. It is also that which excites piety and devotion. That's what unction is. When we pray for unction to preach, that's what we mean. When we pray for your ears to be unction, eyes to hear, that's what we mean. When we pray for unction, eyes prayer, that's what we want. We want to be focused that way. This might order our prayers and prioritize them if we will take the time to do this. And maybe, just maybe, it'll shorten our vocal expression by eliminating filler. But personal experience would say it'll lengthen your prayer time. You'll find yourself stuck before the throne much longer. Well, I know that was a little hard. It felt hard to me. So I pray God give you the grace to keep open hearts towards me the rest of the morning and ears. By the grace of God. I want to look at next, power in prayer. Power in prayer. Since we are talking about prevailing prayer and effectual fervent prayer, let's look at some examples of power in prayer. And as we do, I want to give you an example as you turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. Something that a man named A.J. Gordon said. He said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. So true. Why don't you stand with your feet, stand to your feet with me. Been sitting for a while. 1 Kings 18, beginning in verse 19. I know this is familiar to nearly all of you, but let us let the Word of God do its work upon us today. Verse 19. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. And let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. You may be seated. Thank you. The effectual, fervent prayer of Elijah was such for this very reason. It was God's word that he was fulfilling. It was God's glory that he was seeking. And in his prayer, he confessed that. Why? That those hearing would know that there is no question how this has come to pass. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Let them know, Lord, that you have turned their heart back again. Are you waiting for the fire of the Lord to fall? Have you prayed Elisha's prayer? Do you want to see your house change? Do you want to see your children, your wife, your husband change? Do you want to see the fire fall? Humble yourself. Seek the Lord. Build an altar and prepare the sacrifice. Power in prayer. This is example day. Turn to John chapter 11. Beginning in verse 41, power in prayer. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Brothers and sisters, impossible circumstances. Dead is dead. Elijah and Elisha have seen one raised again from the dead. But it's not possible for a dead man to live. 4 days in the grave. This situation is beyond remedy. In fact, Martha said, "Behold, Lord, he stinketh." You got a situation that stinketh? You got something where corruption has set in? Jesus said, "I pray that they may know that you have sent me." We can't pray, "Father, that they would know that you have sent me." It won't come out. "Father, that they may know that you have sent your Son Jesus. So do mighty works by his holy name again in this our day. Prove the naysayers wrong. Confound the adversary. Cause the crystal lickers to become head scratchers because they don't know what is happening around them. They cannot explain the power that has been loosed on this earth by the few believing saints." And when I say few believing, I mean few believing. That upper room had 120 people. Few believing saints. Will we be the few believing that will call upon the name of the Lord in faith and say, "Glorify thy name. Do this wondrous work." Do you believe it's possible? Do you believe it can happen? I'm not saying go over to the graveyard and start calling people up out of the grave. But are we in tune enough with the will of God? Have we spent enough time with him to know his still small voice, discern his will, and that way, when the circumstances come, we know exactly what to do? You see, they came to Jesus when he was in another place. A place of safety, away from persecution. They came to him and said, "Thy friend Lazarus is sick." And Jesus tarried yet 2 days more and said, "This sickness is not unto death, but that God might be glorified." He knew already what was going to happen. And he finally said, "Well, let us go to him." And the disciples said, "Well, why now? I mean, if he's just sick, he's fine." And Jesus said, "He's dead. He's dead." He knew 2 days before what God's will was in this thing. And knowing 2 days before what God's will was he anxious? Was he worried? No. He just went when it was time to go. When it was time to go, he went. And when he went, he spoke what the Father had already spoken to him. They'd already had a discussion about it. Too often, we treat prayer like a monologue. You talking, God listening. But prayer's not like that. Conversation is dialogue. It's back and forth. But too seldom do we get quiet enough to hear what is the will of God. If we want power in prayer, we've got to be still and know that he is God. You've got to be still and just leave the pondering question in your heart. What wilt thou, Lord? So that when the circumstance comes, you know exactly what to do. When he says, "I will thou do this impossible thing, Brother Edward," you start talking to him about that impossible thing. So that when you get face to face with that impossible thing, you can say with confidence in front of any witnesses, "Father, I know that thou hast heard me, for you hear me always. In the name of Jesus."
God bless you for listening to the preaching of his word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 6 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear a menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.